Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Welcome to the Kenna McEnroe Show.
Yeah,
we're going to do the Kenna McEnroe Show
today. We're
going
to do a Kenna McEnroe Show today. I'm going to answer all the questions, and Will and
we'll
Tony, Will and Tony will correct him, or they'll go, you know, every time I say something wrong, because my answer is just going to be wine, beer. No. So today we have Hottie Patati Will Schmidt coming to us via Skype from the Bay City area.
Yo, yeah. It's cold up here.
Is
why?
It?
Why? Why would you want that?
I run hot.
Oh, we know you do.
That's why it's right there in your name.
Yeah. So, like, is it getting snow cold up there? They get snow up in San Francisco.
Nah, maybe once every decade.
Oh, really? I thought it was more than that. Oh, okay. I was wrong. But, like, how cold is it?
Well, it did get down to, like, 35.
Wow.
I don't really do 35.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not either. A fan of 35.
Yeah,
it's a little chilly.
I'm sure some of our listeners are like in six right
now.
Yeah,
and they're
like,
I'm sitting
in
a blizzard.
I would love
going
to have 35.
Yeah,
I think it's good for fat burning. You got to like spend all this energy, keep you warm.
When I was in the Netherlands for 3 months, granted, I was a lot thinner, and I was, you know, closer to my goal, so I didn't have as much fat on me as it is. But I pretty much ate and drank what I wanted. And I still worked out, but I did pretty good in the cold because I was cycling everywhere and walking in it. That I think that really helped with the weight gain.
Here's the problem about cold weather that a lot of people don't realize is that I'm a huge sissy.
Oh, I knew that.
Oh, you knew that already.
That, yeah.
All right. Some people might not know that.
Yeah.
But it makes me so sad. I don't want to be where it's super cold.
Okay, well, you live in the perfect place because it's not super cold here. Although it has been colder the last few days, and today's nice again, so.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so if you haven't liked us on Facebook, we don't know what the holdup is.
It's warm there.
Yeah. Go to Facebook to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all of our future show topics. You guys can ask questions. We'll cover them. Or you can even pitch a show that you want to hear. And we'll say yay or nay, and then we'll do it.
Yeah, and some of these questions today came right from that very source.
Yeah, we're doing an Ask Tony
show. Right. So it's proof that we're actually answering questions that you ask. So ask them up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't be shy.
And this is our 115th episode. Can you believe that?
They're probably going to cut us off pretty soon.
I don't think anybody's listening. They probably forgot about us. It's like Milton in Office
Space. So we're sneaky. We're getting by.
We're like in the basement. Nobody even knows.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So let's see what our first question is that Ken is going to answer.
Okay. Sandra from Provo, Utah. I seem to have the lazy gene. It definitely runs in my family. Is there an imbalance that could contribute to laziness? I wouldn't mind fixing it, but not sure I feel like doing anything about it. Laugh out loud. That is funny. You know what? I share that gene to a certain degree, and I'm going to say off the top of my head, maybe you're anabolic, maybe you're electrolyte deficient, so you have low energy. Maybe there might be a thyroid issue thrown in there, or maybe you're eating too many sugars or carbs, and that's like causing you to like spike. And
I think she's saying all the things that we always say, even though she happens to be right. I'm wondering
spike
if she's just saying.
Spike and crash. There could be a lot of reasons.
Holy.
I don't have a magical ball, a crystal ball, but could be some of those.
Right. Did you like take the coach course or something, Kenna?
I did. I retained a little bit of it.
Jeez. Wow, that's going to make people want to take
Tony,
the coach
I'm
course.
I'm just going to go get a sandwich. Kenna's
got this, baby. What if people start wanting me to be their coach? That would crack me
that'll
up.
That'll be next week. Totally.
Oh, my gosh.
That's absolutely going to happen. Mm.
Well, I'll do it like when I taught English to the Korean students downtown.
That was great.
I had no idea what I was doing, and I treated it like my biggest acting job I'd ever done before.
You acted like you knew what you were doing.
I acted like it. I went in, I brought my computer, I Googled everything they asked me, dangling participle, what the heck is that? And then I just wrote it out verbatim, the definition on the board, and used the example.
So that's what you'll do when you're coaching people.
Exactly. I'll just look to the coach course, and I'll just verbatim write it out, and they'll be like, any more questions? Gotta go.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at what Kenna said, because she said some things that were accurate. Don't you think, Will Wolfgang Schmidt?
I do. That was awesome.
Thanks.
I wasn't even.
Good
I
job.
I was blown away there. But yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of things you can do to like build more active habits. For example, like if you exercise every day, first of all, that's a very hard thing to get yourself to do if you're lazy. But if you can like try to commit to it for a set period of time, you'll gain momentum and your body will start expecting it. Kind of like a dog that you take out to for a walk every day. Like if you skip it, it's going to go crazy, you know. But if you had a dog that has never been on a walk, it would probably
like, what are you confused. Doing?
Yeah. Like, where are we going?
It's like, it's cold out here.
Right. But yeah, all the points you made, Ken, were really good. There are definitely biochemical imbalances that can cause someone to just have less energy and less sort of gumption, get up and go. And those are usually related to the ones you mentioned. Like if you're electrolyte deficient, you don't have a lot of minerals to burn or a lot of blood pressure to work with. So you get into the gym and instantly you feel like passing out and taking a nap, or you start getting shaky. Like that's not going to feel good to go work out if your gas tank's already on empty. So that electrolyte deficient issue can be a big problem. And then, yeah, the other ones you mentioned too, if your metabolism's off, if you're
spiking and crashing,
if your blood sugar's unstable, all that can make you feel really lethargic, or if your thyroid's underactive. So there's different reasons why that could be. Like it could be if you don't have enough protein in your diet, that can impair thyroid function. If you're not eating enough calories, that could impair it.
Also these things called Amazon, Netflix, and Hulu.
Right.
So you may want to cancel your subscriptions because you'll just get caught in a vortex of watching shows like Transparent on a loop.
Right. So like when we listen to Sandra, you know, you have to understand that first of all, laziness, it's one of those things that it can be a choice. Like, you know, constipation is not usually by choice. There's usually things going on. So a person can choose to be lazy, but there can also be a lot of physiological things contributing to that problem, especially when someone says, when someone realizes, oh, I'm being lazy, I would like to do it, but I just don't seem to have the gumption to do it.
Or if you're just physically exhausted all the time, then there's something wrong. If you're lazy and you're like, I'd just rather not, I'd rather just sit here and eat a piece of pizza and watch this, then that's lazy. But if you're like, I literally don't have the energy to move right now and I don't know why, then...
Yeah, so look at laziness. You can magnify that by someone who has a low libido. Because let's talk about sex on this show.
Ooh, let's talk about sex.
Yes, because... Sex is fun. Most people like to do the sex. But when someone has a low libido, all of a sudden they don't want to do the sex. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not like they changed sex to where it's bad now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. Sex is still a good thing, but all of a sudden they don't feel like it. And when in many cases, it's the person just doesn't have the resources to allow, you know, that the body, when it's just sitting there, is doing all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's not just sitting there. There's all these activities that are going on, and it takes resources for all those functions to actually happen.
So even when you're being lazy, you can feel good that your body is doing
things. So lazy. Yeah, it's doing stuff. Okay. But in order to get all that stuff to happen, there has to be resources making that happen. Vitamins, minerals, nutrients, amino acids, fats, all this stuff, fuel, glucose, all these things that the body's using. And when there's not a lot available, the body is going to send the signal like, yeah, just sit there, please. You can't. We can't afford you to spend on jumping jacks or something like that right now. We got to, you know, get this cell turnover function and rebuild happening. So there's a lot of things to look at. And when you magnify it out and see that, oh, the people with the severe cases of low resources really like just lose their libido and a lot of times can experience depression and all these other things that can be a magnified version of quote-unquote laziness, then you can start to see that if I can help my body, you know, get some more ability to function better, have extra money in the bank, so to speak, now I can spend some of that money on other things that might just be fun.
Yeah. Like Hulu or Netflix.
Right.
or an eco charger bike you could
watch while you're watching. Yeah, you can use while you're doing your programs.
Then you're charging your laptop, which is playing your Netflix while you work out. It's genius.
It's nonstop entertainment. It could never end.
Have you seen those treadmill desks?
Yeah.
That like you could stand and do your work at your desk on the treadmill. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good times. You know, one thing that I didn't want to skip over that Will said that's a great point is that there has to be a way to get started for someone who doesn't seem to have the ability to get started. And to think of the thought of, you know, exercising every day or something like that can be very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But if you view it like, you know, I want to work out three times. That's it. I just want to work out three times. If I can do that in the next 10 days, then I'm going to be happy. Then that's a goal that could actually happen. And the person doesn't have to be so overwhelmed. Yeah. And what if they did
baby
that?
Baby steps,
yeah,
man.
Baby steps.
Like even just walking around the block. I'm going to walk around the block today. Tomorrow I'm going to, you know, and then you get up tomorrow and you say, I'm going to walk around the block today and I'm going to try to do like half another block. Just like baby step it, you know, walk down the street, something, move
yeah,
your body.
Yeah, maybe your first baby step is maybe you're just like, I should brush my teeth today. Yeah. You know, maybe it's really easy.
I need to get dressed today and get out of these sweats and take a shower.
But just do something so that you can succeed at it and say, oh, that wasn't so bad. I bet I could do that again. And maybe you build yourself up to where you're doing something more frequently and all of a sudden you're that dog that Will was talking about that goes on a walk every day and he's like, doesn't feel right if he doesn't go on his walk.
Also, it's finding something that works for you, because if I find something completely boring or I hate it, chances are I'm not going to do it. But if I go for a hike and it's beautiful and it's nature and it's gorgeous when you get up there and you can see all of Los Angeles, then there's a reward and I feel like I'm out in nature, I've got the sunshine on me. This isn't right. Like standing on a treadmill and going nowhere looking at, you know, a wall in a gym.
Right.
If you can make it fun for you, that's great. And then if you can find friends that yes. are more active, that's also awesome.
Yeah.
So, no, there's some sort of study that was like the best determinant of someone's income is the income of their like five closest friends.
Right.
It wasn't like their race or their age or their gender or their even their parents. Well, it was like the five people that they hang out with the most.
God, I gotta get richer friends.
Right. You can look at that with fitness. Like if all of your friends are meth addicts,
you might be a meth addict.
Probably not gonna go well.
Yeah.
But if your friends are like, oh, these are all the people I know from like salsa dancing or CrossFit, or we have like a hiking club or something, like those people are going to be like what's fun for you, and that is going to be a big motivator. And another thing is to do, if you join like a group of people that are all kind of like-minded, mm-hmm. like we have our fat loss course, we're going to do this 12-week challenge.
We probably already did this challenge.
Oh, by we then. Did? Well, by we'll then? Probably, wow.
We'll probably do it again then.
Yeah, so, right.
But if you jump on that, even if it was like a local group of people at your gym doing some sort of challenge, or there's these kind of groups online everywhere. And for example, like our 12-week fat loss course, when people do that, we have like a weekly webinar and people sharing information about, you know, plateaus or pitfalls or challenges they're having or successes that they're having. And then it makes it like a much more fun thing to do. And it's like, you know, it's like going to class together. It's right. It's fun than like learning something or trying to do something on your own.
And before we move on to the next question, I will say that when people have come to me with this type of issue and they've been hoped to improve it, that they most commonly are dealing with, when you're looking at just physiology, is they're most commonly dealing with an electrolyte deficiency issue and or sugar spiking and crashing issues, where the blood sugar is not stable and the body gets often in this state of, yeah, I'm not going to do anything.
Dang, I nailed it.
You nailed it. Okay, this next one's going to
so
be harder for Kenna.
Try some sea salt, maybe.
Yeah, sea salt is good and fixing digestion and lifting mineral levels.
Check your blood pressure.
And we teach how to do all that stuff in our almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com. Now, this next question, Kenna has had experience with this thing that Anne is talking about, but I don't know if she's going to remember it.
I probably won't, because I'm electrolyte deficient, Sandra. See? There you go. Anne from South Africa. Here in South Africa, some of the supplements you talk about, we can only dream about, such as Beet Flow. The one supplement I must have for my confidence and the people in the office and family at home is activated charcoal. As a longtime sufferer of digestive problems, only realized after I read your book that you must identify the problem to fix it, the charcoal has neutralized the stinky problems created by my digestive problems. Okay, move from Africa to the States so you can get that. There's your first thing to do. So, and you, I would say you got to deal with, I guess she's having diarrhea is what she's talking. Is she talking about that?
No, she's talking about stinky, like gas.
Oh, like gas? Okay. Then obviously your digestion is messed up for sure. You know that. Your stuff is like rotting and fermenting in there. Maybe you might have a bacteria overgrowth. I don't know. Maybe you need some stomach acid, some HCl in there. But you also got to have that bile, you know, so it has that sizzle. But the bacteria will be killed by the HCl. And also you could look at maybe not fixing some stuff like not eating as many carbs so the bacteria doesn't go crazy on the carbs and feeds that.
Okay, so those are all pretty good. We're going to come back to all of those things. Do you know why the activated charcoal was helping her at all?
It was helping with the gas.
Do you know why?
Oh, no.
Okay, let's cover that first then. So Kenna has used activated charcoal before. She just doesn't remember it.
I just take what you give me. Right, I don't always know why.
So I always keep activated charcoal on hand. A lot of people use it as a regular part of their supplements, but I keep it on hand because it is the best thing to do if someone experiences any type of food poisoning, or maybe they eat some bad sushi or, you know, something that doesn't sit right. It doesn't necessarily kill it. It kind of it works to adsorb toxins, and that means not absorb, but it makes things kind of cling to it, and then it can pull it out of the body and remove it from the body. So if you ever have a food poisoning situation, I think we've talked about this on a show before, haven't we, Will? Activated charcoal can really be great, but you need to take it away from your meal because it has a bit of an alkalizing effect. So I try and use it away from food, not so that you can still acidify your food when you're eating food. But man, it can really shorten the life of a food poisoning, hurling, butt soup activity type of situation.
Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing, I've used it in the past for sure, and it's awesome. But I remember seeing, you ever see the show Man vs. Wild?
Mm-mm. I've heard about that.
He's out there like catching animals with his hands and eating them. So he doesn't always have like the most sterile or clean environments. Yeah. Like sometimes he's eating a catfish out of the river while it's still alive.
That's disgusting.
It's intense. So he ate something, just giving him food poisoning, and he made charcoal. Like he burnt like wood, and then he ate some of the charcoal.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was really clever, and you know, maybe saved his own life. Definitely reduced his misery. But if she's constantly dealing with that in South Africa, it's likely that it could be something even in like the water or just like healthy veggies that she's eating that have some sort of pathogens on them. And I know like from living in India for 4 years, a lot of people get dysentery a lot of the time, just because the level of hygiene on the food is not up to par. And the microbes in the food, even in clean environments, like I was living in some pretty nice places, even there, it's still like just the different microbes can give you problems. So charcoal can help, as you mentioned, Tony, chelate or adsorb the exotoxins that pathogens create.
Yeah. So, you know, if it's helping her, you know, with a food poisoning situation, activated charcoal is certainly like a solution because you're removing that toxin. But if she's having a gas problem or a stinky stool situation, activated charcoal is not really the solution. It's more like a Band-Aid. It's just helping remove some of the toxins out of the system. So the real thing that she says that she realizes now is you have to fix the underlying cause, which would be, like Kenna was saying, that she probably needs to improve bile flow, most likely is the number one thing with a lot of foul gas. But she may also need to improve HCl just to keep food from rotting and fermenting. Do you got anything to add to that, Will?
No, I like both those. Oh, you know, one other thing would be to look at her diet and see, is she eating foods that are hard to digest in general? So things like foods that people normally cut out when they do something like the paleo AIP diet, foods like grains, legumes, beans, like things with these really long, complex carbohydrates that the digestive system just is not good at breaking down in general. Those foods can give a lot of people gas problems, whether even if their digestion is working well, just because of the nature of those foods. So I would,
broccoli.
I would also,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really depends on your intestinal flora, what's present in your in your gut, that affects what kinds of off gases are created. So there's definitely work to do to modify your diet to find which foods are really contributing to the issue.
She said it's hard to get beet flow there. So what would she do for beet flow?
Yeah, so beet flow definitely is the easiest way to just thin your bile and get it flowing better. And it works, seems to work faster than anything else. But if you don't have access to that, you can get HCl just about anywhere. So that's not a problem. But most places you can get coffee and do an enema. You know, you could do a coffee enema yourself, which it helps bile flow in a different manner. It's more like dilating that biliary pathway so that it can flow better, as to where beet flow is thinning it so that it flows with more ease. Some people have such a problem that they end up doing both, where they have to do beet flow along with a coffee enema or coffee suppositories. So that could be an option for her, as well as reading my chapter 9 in Kick Your Fat in the Nuts, where I talk about removing a lot of the trouble foods that often thicken bile, and that process is much slower, not as effective for everyone as beet flow or coffee enemas, but it is another thing that she could do as an option.
Could she do a beet green shake or something like that? Could she find beet greens and like chomp them up and then just like drink it?
You could
every day?
Do that, but when it's concentrated in the beet flow, like, you know, a couple capsules of beet flow is like getting a bucket of beet greens. So how many beet greens can you tolerate eating to get a dose? You know, you have to be like a horse.
I would say like both of those things are probably good to implement and pay attention to which one pays off the most. Like I know I've been taking beet flow for years and I know my bile flow is working pretty great. But if I eat certain foods, like if I have beans or if I have like pizza that is regular grains made in it, I know like it's probably going to make me feel bloated and gassy in a bit. And that doesn't mean like all of a sudden I had bad bile flow. It means like those carbs in that kind of grain create gas. That's just what they did in my system. So if she can play around with that, and if she goes through our digestive issues course, she can learn these other steps of what else to do to fix bile flow, like you mentioned, the coffee enemas, coffee suppositories, maybe eating a whole bunch of beet greens. But if she gets it, so she's pretty confident she's done the work to get her bile flowing well and she's still gassy, these other diet changes might be necessary. Like, try cutting out grains, try cutting out beans.
Mm-hmm. Some of those grains, the defense mechanism they have to reduce how often animals eat them is to create distress in the intestinal tract by not digesting properly and creating these gases and stuff. So that may be a great thing to try out if that's a problem for her.
Cool. Plus, like, if you're drinking beer and things like that, that's gassy. That is gassy. All right, Barb from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I just finished your book and ran my tests, but I'm not sure where to start. I tend to go back and forth between constipated and diarrhea, and none of my imbalances really point to being too anabolic or too catabolic. Could use some guidance.
Guide her, Barb.
So you got to fix the diarrhea and the constipation problem, number one. I mean, that's like your number one thing, I think, right? Mm-hmm. That would be where you would start, because she wants to know where to start. And then I would say just start working on your digestion. Like if your blood pressure's low, work on that. Because if you are like electrolyte deficient, then you're not getting all your nutrients from your food and stuff. I mean, it could be a number of things. You could have poor bile flow. You could have, low acid in your stomach. But you're definitely, your digestion is the number one problem, obviously. But you got to do to get rid of that diarrhea and constipation and make that flow again. Maybe you need a suppository.
Right, good. Those are good things. Okay, so let's look at some, break this down a little bit more after Ken nailed it. So we see this a lot where people kind of going back and forth between constipated and diarrhea, and there can be a few options that are causing this. One possible cause is that if the person doesn't have a lot of resilience and there's not resources so the body can function correctly, because it takes a lot of kind of fuel, really, for the body to switch from that anabolic to catabolic state. And in the book, we cover a lot, and this is why Barb was a little confused. We cover that people that are constipated tend to be leaning anabolic. Now, not always. There can be other causes of constipation, like a lack of stomach acid and, you know, a variety of other things.
Because I was diarrhea and anabolic, so.
Right. So
there you go. You know, it's different.
There's not a mold or rules. Yeah. There's just guidelines. And when we see people with diarrhea, they're often far too catabolic and maybe too much water is going to the bowels or bile's not flowing well and it's causing this diarrhea. But one thing that we do see when people are back and forth a lot is that the body doesn't have the gumption to make that switch from anabolic to catabolic each day, because that takes a lot of resources to do that. So the body can get stuck in this anabolic state for a few days at a time and push the person more constipated and to where there's like poop filling up everywhere and it's coming out of their ears, and the body's like, well, this isn't going to work. We got to take resources to push this person the other direction. It pushes them more catabolic, but now they're stuck there for a few days. So they don't have the resources to switch back and forth every day, and they start to lean more towards diarrhea. So that alone can cause this scenario, but also just an inability to break food down properly can create all of this gook and havoc and create these back and forth situations. Do you want to talk about that a little, Will?
Yeah. I think that we do a good job of laying out the right order of operations in the digestive issues course, in being able to both like identify what issues are probably the case, but then what actions to take in light of those things. So, all right, it sounds like you may have issues with both ends of digestion, of stomach acid levels and bile flow. And the safe, smart thing to do first is to take steps to work on getting your bile flow to go, so that when you do start supplementing with HCL, you have the bile there to neutralize it after it does its job in the stomach. And I think that's generally a great protocol to follow. Like, and that's where I would start if I were her. I would do like the Beautiful Flush, maybe a coffee enema or a coffee suppository to get your bile flowing well. Check your saliva pH like we teach how to do in the digestive course to get indication of like, all right, yeah, cool. Now my bile looks like it's probably on point or more so. And then I'll start ramping up my HCL. And a lot of the times we'll see like, voila, like you kind of fix it. And you might have other issues with like bacteria in the stomach, where you might have to take some antimicrobial things like delimining to wipe that out. But once you follow those steps, like it generally works. Like it'll generally just help you like be able to handle the food you eat.
Right. And another thing to consider is that when someone doesn't have proper digestion, depending on what they eat, it can dictate how the stool is going to work out. You know, some foods might be easier to break down. Some foods might be a lot harder. But you don't want to be in a situation where you're at the disposal of what you ate that day. You want to be able to conquer whatever you're eating, and you're in charge. So we like to see people fix both of those main aspects of digestion so that no matter what they eat, it breaks the food apart. The body uses all that nutrition, and a stool is formed, and you poop like all the cool kids poop.
Yeah, I like to think of it like when I first started out as a personal trainer, I didn't know how to fix like joint injuries. So if someone had like knee pain or something like that, I would just be like, all right, well, we just won't work legs until it's better, you know? And it might have been like an injury that they've had for years. That's not really a solution to building like a fit body. Like you got to like correct that issue. So, but that's what a lot of people do with their diets. Like, oh, I feel really awful whenever I eat meat. So I'm just not going to eat meat anymore.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, but that, you know, there's a lot of that means you're not digesting it properly. It doesn't mean like meat is incompatible. It means you need more, usually it means you need more stomach acid to handle it. So you want to really try to fix the problem, because if you don't, then you're going to end up with nutrient deficiencies. Like you need to be able to digest proteins and fats and carbs and properly metabolize them, and just avoiding the problem, which is what a lot of people do with their diet, that doesn't create a real solution long term, because you end up with those deficiencies.
Right. So we want you to be the winner, Barb. We want you to be in charge of the food you eat. So
One other thing I wanted to say on that one was that you've taught me in the past of like, it doesn't make sense to eat a food if you can't digest it. So it's good to like, oh yeah, all right, right now, whenever you eat meats, you feel super constipated, so you got to do some work to build it up. Or maybe whenever you eat fats, you feel really nauseous, and it's probably because your bile flow isn't on point. So when you start trying to eat them, you don't have to be like challenge the thing and eat like a jar of coconut oil all at once.
Right.
Like you want to like, again, baby steps. Like,
baby steps.
Just because somebody said a food is healthy doesn't mean it's healthy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you need to personally be able to handle that food and that amount of that food that you're introducing. So if you're working on your bile flow and you've been like really scared to eat any fat because it always makes you nauseous or rashes or makes you itchy, just start with like a little bit of fat while you do work to improve your bile flow, and then gradually build up your amount of that you're eating in a dose or in a serving as your digestive capacity develops.
Awesome. Yeah, cool. All right, let us know how it goes, Barb.
Yeah. If you like audiobooks, you're going to love our sponsor. Audible.com has given all of our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day membership. Go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link so you can get yours. You guys, I think I pretty much rocked it.
Yeah, you did. That was the Kenna McEnroe show.
Yeah,
nailed it.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I didn't actually put it into the way y'all said it, but
it was close
a
enough.
Lot of it was there.
It was close enough.
The show would be a lot shorter if I gave the explanations.
Uh-huh, right.
I will say that.
Yeah.
All right, Will.
All right.
I don't know if I'll be talking to you before, well, shows away. Never mind.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com. And you can head on over to mybodyofknowledge.net to see and check out all of Will's great stuff on his page. And there's pictures and videos and blogs and articles and all that stuff. So check it out.
See you next week.
See you.